message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. It's going to be on the screen for you, and it says this: listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. This is the Message translation, and I love that. Listen for His voice in everything. He's the one who will keep you on track. Question: has anybody gotten off track?
Yes.
Yeah, since yesterday, right? Listen, we get off track, but God helps us stay on course. I want to read something to you before we get into this. I took this from Rick Warren, and he said this: the number one key to hearing God, the number one key is make time for Him. If you don't make time for God, you're not going to hear from God. You have to slow down to be quiet so you can hear from Him. When you're in a hurry, you can't hear God. If I fly over a country in a plane, I miss all of the details. If I take the train, I see a little bit more. If I take a car, I see a little bit more. If I walk across the country, I see a lot of the details. The faster you're going in life, the more you miss. When we live hurried lives, God gets shuffled off into the spare minutes, and He is shortchanged with our time. I'm on a little bit more, but let me read that again. When we live hurried lives, God gets shuffled off into the spare minutes, and He is shortchanged with our time. We say this: Lord, speak to me, but do it quickly. Skimping on our time with God leads to a life that becomes more and more shallow. We don't go deep because we don't make time for it. We aren't spending enough time alone with God, if at all. He needs quality time to change us. That's a lot. We could probably pray now and be done. So, what if you still don't hear God? Even after you slow down, even if you feel like you're doing everything right and you're crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, but you still don't hear God and God seems silent. Maybe Psalm 22, verse 2 is your heart right now this morning. Put it up on the screen. It says this: every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. If that's you this morning, I hope to help you. Title of the message is Nothing But Crickets. Five practical things that you can do. Very practical things that you can do to better hear God's voice. But first, number one, you need to understand this. Just because there's silence doesn't mean there's a problem. You need to understand that. I'm not hearing God. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem. It could, but it might not. See, mature relationships don't require a lot of words. A person or a couple who's been married for a long time, they don't have to talk as much as a younger couple. They know. In a young marriage, a wife will ask her husband, "What's wrong?" if he hasn't said anything in a while. But as you get older in your relationship, there's kind of a knowing that settles in. Lack of communication can indicate peace and contentment. When you're completely comfortable with a person, it's possible to sit in a room together and not utter a word. Husbands are elbowing their wives. So, husband, the next time she says, "What's wrong?" just go, "I am very comfortable with you." See, an older couple can sit on the porch, drink tea, and not talk. It's not a problem. See, there's a maturity in the older relationship, and there's contentment just being in each other's presence. So silence doesn't always mean problem. I took this quote from a guy named, I hadn't heard of him, he's a playwright. I believe he's an agnostic, but it's a good quote, so I'm going to use it. Morris Maeterlinck, and he said this: "We do not know each other yet. We have not yet dared to be silent together." Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about it. Go way back to like a first date or something. The minute there's a gap of silence, you're nervous. You're awkward. As you mature in the relationship, silence becomes part of the blessing of the relationship. Silence can also be a sign of God's trust. Oswald Chambers said this: when you cannot hear God, you will find that he has trusted you in the most intimate way possible, with absolute silence. Not a silence of despair, but one of pleasure, because he saw that you could withstand an even bigger revelation. So, if you're not hearing God, if there seems to be silence in your relationship with God, it's not automatic that there's a problem. But there could be. If you are at Psalm 22, verse 2, notice what it says at the end. Every night I lift my voice, I find no relief. See, if there's a tension in the silence, then yeah, there's a problem. Because me and my wife, we've been silent and enjoyed the silence. And then there's been silence, and it was tense. You could hear the silence. It was loud. You know what I'm talking about. So there's a tension here. I find no relief. If your silence is accompanied by uneasiness, then there's probably a problem. So five things. Number one, examine your life. It could be that there's an issue that needs to be solved. I'm going to give you a verse for each one of these. Psalm 66, verse 18 says this. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, my Lord would not have listened. So you may not be hearing him because he's not hearing you. So if there is unconfessed sin in your life, sin separates. And so just like husband, wife, sin will separate, right? There's a problem and we separate. We're in the same house, but there's a gap. And you're saved, but there can be a gap in your fellowship because of unconfessed sins. So examine your life. That would be the first thing I would do if I don't feel like I'm hearing from God. The first thing I would do is a little introspection. So it could be that you're not hearing from God because he's not hearing from you. So Proverbs 21:13, here's another reason. It says, we're still on number one here, but whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Peter tells us our prayers can be hindered when things aren't right in our marriage. James tells us that our motives can be wrong and can be a blockage. And catch this one. John chapter 9, verse 31 says this. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. I got to pause here a minute because some of y'all may be choking on that. You think God hears everybody. It says here, we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, we're all sinners. See, we're not. I'm not. I don't know about you. But I'm not. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't want to be a sinner. God doesn't hear sinners. Listen, you're either a sinner or a saint. I go over this too many times, and so we're not going to take long here. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Philippi, to the saints at Colossae, even in Corinth, to the saints. See, you're not a saint because you're all that. You're not righteous because you're all that. You're righteous because you've given your life to the one who is all that. See, you have right standing with God because you are hid in Christ. God doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. You're hid in him. So now that you're not a sinner, you can know that God hears the prayer of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous man avails much, but God doesn't hear sinners. Now, I'm going to give you an exception. Repentance is always a good prayer. Repentance, catch this, repentance establishes relationship for the sinner, but for the righteous, it restores fellowship. Repentance for the sinner establishes relationship. Repentance for the righteous restores fellowship. All right, so first thing I would do, if I'm not hearing from God, I would examine my life. Second thing, listen to what God has already said. Listen to what God has already said. When you can't hear what God is saying, listen to what he's already said. What I'm talking about here is the Word of God. I'm talking about the Bible. See, because the Bible is God's words. The Bible is full of answers to what is right, what is wrong, information about God's character, God's intention for us as his children, as his followers. Listen, we sometimes want God to speak to us on a matter that He has already addressed. God, should I love my neighbor? He just didn't answer. He answered that a long time ago. So listen to what God has already said. If I leave a note with instructions on the refrigerator, that's where you leave notes, right? And it's instructions for my kids while I'm gone. And then they read the note, they're hearing from me. At the service on Friday, we heard from Trey. We have his connection cards. They're archived. I pulled a lot of the connection cards out, and I read Trey's words in Trey's absence. We heard from Trey. When you read your Bible, you can hear from God. So listen to what God has already said. Here's a verse for this one, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Hebrews 4:12 says it exposes our attitudes, our thoughts, and our desires. The Word of God is powerful. So if you're not hearing the still, small voice of His Spirit, get into His Word and hear what He's already spoken, what He's already said. And maybe God has already addressed your situation and He's not going to repeat Himself. You know, our kids are grown, but when they were younger, if they asked me a question that I had already answered, I might would just look at them. Dad, do you hear me? I'm not answering that again. I've already addressed that. I've already spoken to that. Listen, if God never spoke to us again, through the many avenues that He speaks, right? He has given us plenty to hear in His written word. So listen to what is already said. The third thing, accept God's sovereignty. I think we just have to realize that, you know what, if God wants to be silent, He can. There's no obligation for God to respond, for Him to inform you. Now, by God's sovereignty, I am not saying that whatever happens, happens, and doesn't matter, we're Calvinists. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you belong to Him, He loves you, and if something comes your way in life, whether He caused it, whether He allowed it, whether it's this, whether it's that, whatever it is, and you're going to have to embrace it. So accept God's sovereignty, because even if God didn't cause it, He allowed it to come your way, so there's sovereignty involved there, so just accept that. This is not an easy step. A.W. Tozer said this, God is absolutely free because no one and no thing can hinder Him or compel Him or stop Him. He is able to do as He pleases, always, everywhere, and forever. I want to use Job here just a little bit on this one. Job had to either accept what was going on in his life, or does he have a choice to reject it? It happened. You can't reject it. You can either accept it and trust God and go forward like Job did, or you could take the advice of Job's wife when she said, why don't you just curse God and die? God is unfair. God doesn't love you. I don't even know if there is a God. So we can take that, or we can embrace the fact, this is not good. I don't like it. I'm confused. I have questions. But what else can I do but trust God? Let me give you what Job did and said in Job chapter 2, verse 10. This will be your verse for this one. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? I don't like this third point. I'll just be honest with you. Accepting God's sovereignty means trusting God and realizing that He is in control and can be trusted. It doesn't mean that He did this or He did that. The enemy is involved, but it does mean that God is in control. Just because you're not in control doesn't mean God's not in control. So we have to accept God's sovereignty. And Job said this, though He slay me, I will hope in Him. I will trust Him. It wasn't really a discussion. You know, everything that happens. My point was this. If God didn't cause it, He allowed it. And their point was, no, He doesn't allow everything. And I got confused. I said, what do you mean he doesn't allow everything? I said, if it happened and he didn't stop it, he must have allowed it. Anything that happens, God allowed. Now, whether God caused it or not, that can be discussed. God doesn't cause everything that happens. Some of the stuff that happens, you caused it. That was your doing. And then there's an enemy. So we can have a debate on who caused it. But if it happened, absolutely, God allowed it. I did win that debate. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. I didn't put this on the screen, but catch this. Be still and know that I am God. Notice that there's a command here. Be still and know that I am God. But there is no command here to listen harder. There's no command to pray harder. Just know that he is God. When you can't hear him, he is God. When you have questions, he is God. When you're hurting, he is God. When you don't have all the answers, he is God. God is God no matter your situation. So be still. Well, I can't hear God. Just be still and know that he is God. I did that. I didn't hear him. If you don't hear him, just be still and just know that he is God and accept God's sovereignty. The fourth out of five is this. Keep going and doing. I don't have a verse for this one, but here's what I want to put a statement up here. Silence from God is not a new directive. Let me explain. Y'all know the game Simon Says, right? Y'all want to play it real quick? Simon Says, raise your hand. Put it down. Nope. More than half of you just lost. You don't, Simon Says, put it down. You don't respond unless Simon Says. Man, y'all were easy to beat. When Simon says, you respond to the directive. If Simon doesn't say, you don't do anything. God's silence isn't a new directive. In other words, if God says, you got to do. Well, God hasn't said anything in a long time, so I think it probably means I should stop doing this or start doing that. No, silence from God is not a new directive. If you haven't heard God say, then stay with the last thing he said. If Simon said, put your hand up, and then you don't hear Simon say anything for a while, the hand stays up. All right, let's do it one more time. Simon says, put your hand up. All right, now I'm going to finish the message. All right, Simon Says, put your hand down. We only respond to the spoken word. We don't respond to the absence. And don't be praying like I've done before. God, if you don't want me to eat this banana split, say something. Listen. Don't question God's guidance just because you haven't heard it reaffirmed lately. An example, God told Noah to build an ark. Gave him the dimensions, the type of wood, gave the specifics to it, and God said, build an ark. Now, the Bible doesn't say, maybe God checked in once a week and said, hey, you're doing good, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Or maybe God never said another thing about it. God didn't respond, so Moses is halfway through the ark, and he's almost done. He's like, I wonder if God wants me to keep going. Has he said anything? No, he hadn't said anything. Yes, he did. He said, build an ark. It was just way back there. What he said way back there is still good until he changes. And if he hasn't changed, you stay with the last thing that you heard. If God tells you to go north, go north. Well, when do I stop? You don't until he says stop. Do the last thing that you were told to do. It's kind of like your GPS in the car. You're going to turn left in 35 miles. The GPS is not going to tell you every mile. Now, don't forget. In 34 miles, you're going to take a left. In 33 miles, you're going to take a left. So, keep going and keep doing the last thing until you hear the next thing. His silence is not a new directive. And the last thing, Keep praying. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean you should doubt Him or stop praying. God's silence is not a license for you to turn your back on Him. It's an invitation to press forward and seek Him even more diligently. Notice what the text said. Every day I call to you. Every night I lift my voice. Every day, every night. Just because you're not hearing from God doesn't mean that God shouldn't hear from you. And it could be that you're hearing from God more than you know. You can't conclude that God isn't real or that God isn't good because you're not hearing Him. Here's the verse for this one. Up there is verse 22, Psalm 22, verse 2. Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. This is a frustration. You hear that? But look at his next words in verse 23. Yet you are holy. Yet you are holy. Just because you're not hearing Him doesn't change who He is. Doesn't mean that He's not God. I found that this morning. I was blessed by that. I just read a little further. Yet you are holy. I am frustrated. I feel a gap between us. I don't like this. I'm confused. You're still God. Amen. You are still holy. I want to go back to Job before we land the plane here. Job is 42 chapters. Chapter 1, it starts off. Job is not, it's my worst, least favorite book in the Bible. In chapter 1, Job loses his children and his property. In chapter 2, Job loses his health. In chapter 3, he curses the day he was born. He doesn't curse God. He curses the day he was born and he goes on a rant. Chapter 4, his friends start giving him advice. Chapter 7, now get this. Chapter 7, Job cries out to God. Chapter 38, you find these words. Then the Lord answered Job. He cried out in chapter 7. And the Lord answered in chapter 38. But Job was still praying every day, every night. Chapter 10, every day, every night. Chapter 12, every day, every night. Chapter 23, every day, every night. Chapter 38, the Lord answered Job. If you're here this morning and this message speaks to you, you don't feel like you're hearing from God and hadn't for a while, my question to you would be, are you still praying? And then, I wonder what chapter you're in. If you're praying, you've hit chapter 7. Maybe the answer's right around the corner. And then again, maybe you're only in chapter 8 or 9, and it's going to be a while. I don't know. So while you're not hearing Him, those five things, examine your life, stay in your Bible, pray for God to give you the grace to accept what's happening, and keep plugging, keep going. You know, I'm teaching this class for the church. I feel like the Lord told me to teach the junior high guys, and so I'm doing that. But I've been doing it like 6 months, and I haven't heard the Lord say, keep doing it. Did He say, quit doing it? Well, then the answer is keep doing it. Keep going. Keep doing. Keep praying until you get a new directive. Listen, church, God is for you. Could it be that some of you who claimed you're not hearing from the Lord, you thought, man, this message was just for me? Well, can I suggest that you just heard from the Lord? Amen. What are you saying? You're all that? No, the Lord speaks through people. Could it be that you just heard the Lord? Could it be that you were crying, Lord, I'm not hearing your voice, and this morning this message comes forth? Maybe you're hearing from Him more than you know. I want to ask you to stand up.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112. or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.